The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and who despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and he spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, the latter went home justified, but not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. This parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is found only in the Gospel of Luke. And it fits Luke. It fits the whole temperament of Luke's gospel, a gospel of compassion, understanding, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, this parable here, and Jesus forgiving those who crucified him and welcoming the criminal crucified with him into heaven. It fits into the temperament and personality of the Gospel of Luke. He speaks about two good men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stands up and prays to himself. He thanks God that he's not like the rest of men, greedy and sinful, or like this tax collector who is reviled and he's an outsider, he's separated from society. Tax collectors were the lowest in the social order in the time of Jesus. He applauds himself. He's clearly a very good man. He's a legalistic person. He keeps the law. He doesn't know anything about love. He is convinced that he can merit his way into heaven. And therefore, he doesn't need to be loved into heaven. He will accomplish this himself. He is so self-righteous about his virtue that he allows himself to make judgments about others, to shut them out, to dispose of other people, to diminish other people in his estimation. He's a legalistic person. Sometimes we meet people like that, even in the church today. Whereas the tax collector, he relies on a relationship, not a law. He relies on a relationship with the living God, a redeeming God, a God who will understand him, a God who will welcome him, a God who will bless him and give him new life. And Jesus says, he went home more justified than the man who kept all the law. I find this very consoling, and I'm attached to this gospel. When I was told I should select readings for my funeral mass, well, nobody was wishing my funeral soon, but they said you should pick the readings. I said, well, I'm not going to be there. I don't care what they read. But And then somebody says, I know, but one person would say he should have this and somebody else and that. So avoid controversy. So I picked this gospel for my funeral mass. And I thought to myself, my chances of getting into heaven are far better if I go up there and say, be merciful to me, O Lord, I'm a sinner. And not say, by the way, I was Holy Family for 40 years. And they listen. And they're going to say, that doesn't mean much. What might mean something is, if I rely on the mercy and the love of God, that's my redeeming. If I have to rely on merit, my chances are going to be very slim. So my chances are much better asking for the mercy and the love of God. It's a teaching for us now. And here's an image that I like to invoke when I'm thinking this way. In ancient times, a person would go to the marketplace to buy a vessel, an earthenware vessel, for domestic preparation of food. The unscrupulous seller, when there were cracks in the vessel, would cover the cracks with wax. And the unsuspecting buyer, thinking he was buying an intact vessel, would take it home, and when the fire and the heat was applied, the wax melted. So the ideal was to buy a vessel without wax, not without cracks, but without wax. To buy a vessel that is intact but broken, a vessel that has cracks in it, but you can see them. They're obvious. That was the ideal, to buy a vessel in that manner. The Latin word for wax is ceres. The Latin word for without is sine. So he needed to buy something sine ceres, which gives us an English word, sincere. The tax collector is sincere. He's transparent. He's honest. The Pharisee is wearing a mask. Now, when I was young, my first half of my life, I belonged to a church, our church, which was very rigorous. It was very powerful, influential, large in numbers, and very legalistic, so that obeying the laws became a preponderance of your identity as a Catholic. Therefore, of course, this generated an extraordinary deluge of Irish guilt. So we're guilty about everything, breaking any kind of a law. I remember when I was young and I stole some apples from this old lady, her orchard, and then she died. And I went to confession, and the priest said, oh, you have to pay her back. And I said, but she's dead. And he said, no, you have to do occult compensation. What's that mean? You have to give money to charity or light some candles. Well, I lit more candles for that old lady. It cost me much more lighting the candles than if I went out and bought the apples. Well, that was a kind of a guilt we had, this sense of, you're going to be condemned and so forth. And then about 30 or 40 years ago, a number of things happened in the church post-Vatican II. When I was a young priest, Vatican II finished in 1965. I was ordained in 64. So we were in a post-Vatican era where inquiry, questioning, all this was a welcome introduction, a new sense of what it means to belong to church. Things began to change. The legalism was somewhat diminished. And then we came along and we had this pedophile crisis, a clerical abuse crisis. And that diminished this sense of power and prestige and the sense of the icon of the priest, the deifying of the cleric. It was all scattered. in a very short time. And then we discovered we're not all powerful. We're not the last word in the church. Not everything the church says fits us. And all we began to discover, we are the church. We are the tax collector. We are sinners in need of forgiveness. We're a broken church in need of healing. We're human. And it took on a whole new meaning of what it means to belong to a church. We are the church, and we are the sinners. I had two weddings in the last 2 days, and I was reminded that there is no marriage which is perfect. If a marriage was perfect, you wouldn't need the vows. Better or worse wouldn't mean anything if a marriage was perfect. You have light, darkness, you have a need to belong, a need to be blessed, a need to be forgiven. Otherwise, it has no meaning. There is no disciple of Jesus Christ who is perfect. The only disciple that reveals Jesus Christ is the sinner. We're a church of sinners. It's hard, therefore, to postulate the same church, a broken church needing to be healed and a sinful church needed to be forgiven, that would shut people out. In all my years working in a pastoral life, I have learned more about the true God from sinners than I have from people who think they're perfect. Somehow they spoke to me about the wonder of God, the infinite love of God, the embrace of God, the touch, the welcoming, the life-giving understanding of who God is in my life. The sinner taught me that. Pope Francis, who brought a new freshness to understanding the human church, when he was first elected, I think it was 2005, when he was first elected Pope, and the first interview he had with the media, the person asked him, "How would you describe Jorge Bergoglio?" It was himself. The Pope stopped and he thought for a while, and then he said, "I am a sinner." And I said, "Oh my God, I think you understand me. Okay, I think we have a bond here." Now we have popes who are saints and all sorts of devout things. We had a pope years ago, I used to read about him, and he slept for only 3 hours a night. And I said, "Oh my God, have mercy." We thought that was incredible. Today we'd send him for some counseling. But we had these kind of ridiculous notions of super persons. But we're all just broken people struggling to belong, to be forgiven, to be embraced, to be welcomed. Be welcomed. Pope Francis says, when you stand in the presence of the sinner, take your shoes off, for you are standing on holy ground. I know in the sacrament of reconciliation, I have admired and be absolutely inspired by the person who kneels down or sits down and speaks about their weakness and their brokenness and their sins, and said, "I need to have an experience of God's forgiveness." When I first did the sacrament of penance way back, we did our theology in Latin. We were told that you have to confess secundum specium et numerum, according to species and number. Well, that caused me a lot of trouble when I was a teenager, because I go to Mass on Sunday, go to communion. I was back on the road Monday. I was going to confession on Saturday, putting the last thing first, the first thing last. And I had to say, well, what kind of a sin was it? And how many times? And oh, my God. Well, if it was three times, I said five, because I was told if you don't fully confess, you're worse off after confession. So I always kind of padded it a little bit. See, it's a misunderstanding of who God is. And then we renewed the sacrament. And we said, but the sacrament, an experience of Jesus Christ, God's love, the sacrament is not confession. It's not based on me confessing. It's based on me having an experience of God's infinite love. That's why you call it reconciliation. I want to be reconciled with the infinite love of God. God knows my failings better than I know my failings. So capture the teaching of this gospel here. It's to say, I bring my humanity into the presence of God, and the healing, touching love of Christ touches me. I think I mentioned before that in recent times I've been writing journals on my vocation as a priest. And the more I thought about it, and the more I wrote it, I said, my primary vocation as a priest is to be reconciled with my humanity. If you're not reconciled with your humanity, you cannot understand the true God. It'll be like the Pharisee. So I'm keeping the laws. He wore a mask. He was covered with wax. And wherever you find that, when the heat is applied and challenges come and reversal visits you, the wax will melt and the mask will fall off and the perfect person will become perfectly human. So lift up your spirit, rejoice in the God who is with us, the God who is among us, the God who touches us, understands us, welcomes us into the house of the Lord. That's why, for years ago, many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I decided we need a parish song. We need a song that says this is who we are as a community, Holy Family. Went around and around and around, and finally we settled on All Are Welcome. We said, that's us. All are welcome. We want to be a community where all are welcome. Where the Pharisee or the tax collector, we all belong together in the embrace of God's infinite love. So wherever you are in your life, you belong to the Lord. In God's house, there are no stepchildren. We are all God's loving people, broken, but loved. Amen.